by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, Drew Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors is back on your radio and on demand at the radio station's app. You can listen to all of our great episodes that we've done over the last couple of years, and Game and Fish has been right there from the very, very beginning, and Janet Millick is with us today. And Janet, that time is about here.
We talk about it every year, Drew, because it is such an important date for all the folks in Wyoming. May 31st, application deadline.
Yeah, and I got spooked a little bit because this past week was the out-of-state, the non-resident deadline, and I saw someone say, I hope the deadline and the draw gods are in my favor, and I thought, oh, crap! Then I was like, wait a minute.
You're not the only one that panicked a little bit. I got a few phone calls on that same thing. So yeah, don't worry. You still have a few days left to get your some of your applications in. Not all of them, but some of them. You know, kind of some of the more desired. I guess I shouldn't say that. They're not necessarily more desired, but the more difficult to draw. Some of your bighorn sheep, your bison, those were April 30th. So if you miss that deadline, you might be out of luck. But May 31st for antelope, deer, and elk is coming up, as well as turkey. So sandhill crane, a lot of those are still open. So make sure you get your application in.
Yeah, and we have Brandon with us as well. And I know, Brandon, the numbers have been released, and the number of licenses have been released. And this year, we kind of took a hit on some of those that we kind of knew with the deer and the antelope. But are things looking pretty good for most people as they're, you know, getting their hunting licenses?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely added some licenses in my district around the Casper area for antelope for the most part. But that doesn't mean our draws are going to improve. You know, Western Wyoming last winter, they did see a really bad die-off. So we are seeing more Western Wyoming names putting in Central Wyoming, and that's fine. That's great. But the draws are a little bit more difficult on the antelope than they have been the last few years. But we've added some licenses, and things are looking good with this mild winter we had. Fawn production should be awesome.
So with that, Drew, that kind of continues on with what we've been saying for the past couple of years is folks need to spend a little bit more time ahead of time to make sure that you do have access to the areas that you're putting in and that you do know your draw odds, because things are changing on the landscape, right? Like Brandon mentioned, folks are applying in different areas across the state due to declines or increases in some areas. And so just make sure you spend your time ahead of time. And if you need help, lots of us are here to do that.
Just be aware, especially for pronghorn, that if it's a really easy draw, there's a pretty good chance there's a lot of private land in there. So make sure you have private land lined up or just know where you're applying.
Yeah, and the best way to do that is, well, first off, know where you're going and research that area. And Onyx Maps is always a good way as used as a resource, and then reaching out to Wyoming Game and Fish. And we do talk about the application deadline a lot because people will wait until that last minute. And Janet, how many phone calls will you receive on May 30th?
It gets brutal, I'll tell you what, especially because the challenges that often happen are, oh, I forgot my sportsman's ID number. Can you please help me with that? Or, you know, gosh, my computer isn't working or I can't get online because it is so busy that time of year. So, and I'm one of the wives who really gets to nag hard on this because my husband is always on May 31st, just starting to get together to get his stuff on there. So if you're one of those, make sure that you're not waiting until the very end. We can be so much more helpful and make sure that all the information is that much more accurate if we get able to help you ahead of time.
So application deadline is the 31st, but when will the actual draw be?
This year it's set for June 18th.
So the 18th of June is when everyone will know whether they're happy or they're sad. And I know people get a little bitter when that day rolls around, because not everybody gets the license that they're looking for.
Right. And it can be frustrating. So with residents, everything's a random draw. So your buddy might have drawn a really good elk license 2 years in a row, but you've put in for the same elk license for 10 years and not got it. But in the long run, for type ones, which is anything, or Dauphins, it's all random draw.
So will putting your application in when you first can change the odds of you getting in more than someone that waits until May 30th?
Man, I wish. That would be awesome. I'd be first in line.
Yeah. And I'd like to kind of explain how the party system works too. So if you want to put a party, you can put up to six people. So the first person, the person that organizes the party, their name goes in the hat, and only their name. So if they get drawn, everybody gets drawn. It's not if you put in it as a party that six names goes in the hat, and then if one of those gets drawn, they all get drawn. So just keep that in mind. It doesn't increase your odds. It doesn't hurt your odds. But if you want a chance that everybody gets a license, then do the party. But if you want a chance like, hey, it'd be nice if, you know, my sister or my brother got a tag just so we can go, then maybe do an individual applications.
Which, obviously, if you put in for a party, that doesn't mean that you can get six licenses. That means just your party people will get the licenses.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's not an individual thing, because, you know, people are like, oh, well, I just put in for a party and I'll get all six.
It's not, yep, not that how
would
that
be
works.
Nice. That, maybe not we should that change works. That. Yeah. No, the person will get a party ID number, and then everybody else in your party needs to make sure to use that ID number in the electronic licensing system. And one of the things that I really want to encourage listeners, I know that or we as an agency, I should say, know that the licensing system, all being electronic, can be kind of challenging for folks. I know that I still work with my parents who are a little bit older and maybe not as tech savvy to make sure that their applications can be submitted successfully. We have kiosks here in the regional offices that people can come to. You know, I know that can really be a hindrance for some folks in Wyoming, right? They live in the middle of nowhere. Maybe they don't even have internet. I just want to encourage people that we're here to help. We understand, and there are a lot of people out there that this does affect. And so just don't hesitate to, you know, give us a call, come figure it out. We're here to help folks because it can be a challenge. And I know, you know, Brandon is a master at the hunt planner, but boy, you stick me on that thing and I can't figure it out. So it really is something that I just want to encourage people. If you can't figure it out, know that you are not alone.
Right. Yeah, really spend some time on our website. That hunt planner is such a valuable tool. You can go on there, click under hunting and trapping. It'll take you down to the hunt planner. Click on that, and then you can find the species you want. And in there, really dive into a lot of different stats. So you can look at harvest statistics, the amount of public land, the drawing odds. You can really look at it, and it's an interactive map. So it'll show you the public land that's on there, our walk-in areas, our hunter management areas. It's such a great tool.
Yeah, and I'll tell you that applying and putting your information in there, if you already have an account, I mean, really, it keeps up on everything, and it's really a good place to, you know, frequent, because your license information, your fishing license information, anything that you have through Game and Fish is there on that site.
Right. And a really cool feature we have, if you're stuck in your ways and you like hunting the same areas every year, when you go to apply, you can scroll down a little bit and it'll say apply the same as last year. And you can click on that and it'll enter in all your information the same as the previous year.
Yeah, it really is a great source of information. And, you know, I know everybody kind of gets a little panicky when it comes to technology a lot of times, but really everything is technology driven anymore. So it shouldn't be a surprise when you go and have to log onto a website.
Right.
You're right, but that doesn't mean that we have accomplished that yet. And so, you know, again, don't be ashamed, but, you know, it can make life a lot easier. But, you know, if you don't have a computer, you don't have a tablet, or if you're like some folks that I know and you still love your flip phone, just give us a shout. We're here to help.
All right.
So one really big benefit to applying now is you still have to the 31st to modify where you apply. So something really exciting happened to my family this morning. My dad's a non-resident and he drew a really good elk license. Huh? So super excited. But because of that, me being a resident, I changed where I wanted to hunt this year. So you have to 31st to modify or even withdraw your application.
And that does include if you want to change hunt areas. And so really you're not limited to whatever you apply for. You have until the 31st to get that information changed. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, Brandon, because I think people are like, oh man, that's what I applied for. That's all I can have. But really options.
And make sure you double and triple check. So say if you're putting in for an area that has different license types, so like a type one or a type two license, make sure you know what they mean. So type one is typically any animal anywhere in the hunt area, but make sure you read about it. But a type two typically has different restrictions, whether it's private land only, certain portions of the hunt area. But a lot of people get surprised like, oh, I got a type two. I didn't realize it was private land only. So just pay attention to that.
All right. Well, very good. Go check out wgfd.wild.gov to get all the information that you need. Brandon, Janet, thank you guys.
Thanks, Drew.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew and Brian at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And Brian, have we recovered from the Wyoming Walleye Stampede week one?
You know, I'm just about around the corner. You know, it took me till about Wednesday morning before my legs felt okay. And, you know, being on the boat for that long and then jumping in and out of so many boats, I mean, just measuring fish, it's a little bit on an older guy.
It is. And I'll tell you that, you know, you're riding around in that boat all day and it kind of bumps you around enough that even if you're not jumping around, you're feeling it. It took me a couple of days too, but we'll talk, you know, recapping in just a little bit. We've got you and Mitch, and then we're going to talk to the winners of the first week, and already looking forward to June 1st and 2nd, I believe, or 2nd and 3rd that weekend there, where that's the Governor's Cup, which is going to be fun. And I know there was a lot of fish caught over this past weekend and a lot of supplies were used.
There was a lot of different techniques used. I mean, everybody was kind of throwing just about anything and everything at them. I think the winners, you know, had really good success on minnows. In fact, first and second place teams were using minnows. But I was talking to some guys throughout the week, and they had a hard time getting minnows down at Glendale. They had just, most everybody down there had ran out, and they caught some of their best fish on worms, night crawlers.
So obviously, you know, 145 boats are going to be at the Gov Cup. That's a lot of anglers that are going to be out on the water, and you might as well come on in here to Rocky Mountain Discount Sports and get your minnows before you head that way.
Yeah, you know, as we get into these warmer months, you know, the worms and the leeches really, I mean, leeches for me are kind of my favorite. They're pretty easy to maintain. You know, you put them in a container, keep them, put a little ice on them, keep them cold or keep them cool anyways. And they seem to last longer than worms do in a lot of cases. So we've got both worms and leeches in stock, and we have minnows. And we'll have minnows throughout the year. We try to go not run out, I mean, any time of the year.
The only fish I caught this past weekend when we had a little time was off of a leech, and I'll agree with you. I think I like fishing the leech and the worm even more than the minnow. I don't know. I just find a little appreciation toward those two.
I think I was the only one that didn't catch a fish this weekend.
I think so.
I'm getting to be one heck of a boat captain.
Yeah. You were doing a good job at that. I mean, we didn't crash once.
Didn't crash and put you guys on fish. And, you know, what else can I do?
Well, I'll tell you that it's always a good time when you're out on the water. And even if it's not tournament situation, I mean, there are opportunity after opportunity. And we were with Noah, and Noah's a 13, 14-year-old kid that loves fishing, and it's cool to see the excitement in the eyes of a kid when they're talking about fishing. And for 4 days, that's all he did was talk fishing. And, you know, bring a kid in here and let him run wild in the fishing department. I think that's awesome.
Well, I say Noah is pretty excited, but we had Merritt with us this weekend, and I think Merritt talked fishing more than Noah did.
You're right. And Merritt's 69 years old and just loves it. And he's just new to it as well, though.
Yeah, he's a newbie. He was a trout guy for a long time, and he got converted over here the last couple of years. And, you know, he's on that mission to try to figure these walleyes out. And I think he's done a pretty good job, but, you know, every once in a while, those walleyes will throw them a curveball, and you know, like, I couldn't find them today.
Yeah, you know, one of the interesting parts about when you're in a situation like we were in is you get to talk to a lot of anglers. We weighed over 800 fish
on day
the
one.
Whole, yeah, day.
On day one.
So we may be somewhere around 1,600 fish that were measured throughout the week, and only a couple of those didn't make it. So that just goes to show how much these anglers really care. But you know, you see, like Merritt asking every boat we pulled up to what they were fishing, and that's really how you gain knowledge in this sport.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because you know you talk to these guys and you're saying, so what's the bite today, minnows? And they say, yep, minnows. And like, did you try anything else? Nope.
No.
So yeah. I mean, like, so if you were to come up to me and to say, hey, was a minnow bite? No, I was running plastics all day.
Yeah.
You know, because that's just what I like to do. Uh-huh. I do like to throw a minnow occasionally or run one on a slip bobber. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to even ask the right question because you know when you say, hey, do you use minnows all day? Yep, I used them. Well, a lot of people just kind of, especially during a tournament situation, they're just real. They do what they're comfortable with, you know. And if I know guys that all they did was pitch crankbaits and jerk baits and plastics all weekend, so you know, you don't have to have minnows to be successful. I think some of the better fish did come off of minnows, but just being in the right place, right time is what kind of what helped a lot of these anglers.
And having options, and we talk about that a lot, where if the minnow bite's not working, go to the leech, go to the worm, go to the plastic,
right.
And of course you can get all that here at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And one of the other things that I think is a great idea is to have those setups ready to go. You know, if you're going to jig, or you know, if you're going to, you know, pull a crankbait or something like that, to have the setup so you don't have to change it all out and spend time doing that.
Yeah, usually when I'm fishing, I usually have, you know, 2 to 4 rods on the deck. You know, I'm casting with, starting off with a jig and a plastic, and then if I'm in an area that I feel like there should be fish there that have been successful in the past or maybe the day before, then I'll switch it, grab another rod, and I'll throw a leech on, or I'll grab my plastic rod and or my worm rod or whatever, and throw a slip bobber up. I mean, I'd like to try to keep all those options available before I just kind of give up on a spot.
So we're really looking at June being here within the next couple of weeks. We had a struggle. You know, people were having a hard time catching fish that were sizable enough to right. weigh. What are we going to switch to then once June gets here and that temperature is starting to go up?
Yeah, so, you know, this last week, you know, they had quite a bit of rain, and that kind of cooled the water temperatures down. And what it kind of seemed to really, the pattern seemed to help was that a lot of those fish transitioned into a little bit deeper water for some reason. And I don't know if that was just to acclimate themselves, or maybe because the water was starting to muddy up a little bit with all this rain and runoff. The north end of the lake, which usually this first tournament, you know, there's usually quite a few anglers up there in Elkhorn. And this last week, we saw a lot of people more in the Red Canyon, and those kind of targeting those fish that were transitioning out of Elkhorn and getting to the bays. So in this June tournament, typically what we find is that those fish will now have been transitioned through the Red Canyon off of those rocky points, and those fish are going to start working their way to the backs of the bays and into the bays where there's some new weed growth and where there's, you know, more bugs and minnows and you know, crappie and perch that tend to like, you know, some of that vegetation.
Well, making sure you're prepared for all of this, you know, we get into these warmer months and things start to change up a little bit. Come on here to Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, restock your boat, make sure you got everything you need before you head out on the water.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors, and this is a wrap-up show from the very first Wyoming Walleye Stampede of 2024, and with Brian and Mitch. And guys, it was a heck of a weekend. The weather couldn't have been better. And I really, the fish weight that came in were a little bit surprising.
Yeah, you know, the guys had a tough week of pre-fishing. A lot of guys got on like one day during the weekend last weekend. But those guys that actually took some time off work and were going to try to figure out a game plan, Mother Nature threw them a pretty good curveball. And those guys were fighting high winds, rainstorm, hail, snow, water temperatures cooled down, and they just really couldn't really effectively cover the water like they wanted to. But, you know, the Saturday morning, Friday was actually really nice, and the guys that got out were pretty happy with the success they had. And then, of course, we just had a beautiful weekend down here, and the wind stayed down, the weather was great. The rain kept away from us, and for a May tournament, this is about one of the best weather weekends that we've ever had.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great way to kick off the summer. You know, I think the weather held out, like you said. Surprisingly enough, there's a handful of guys that even mentioned the weather Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The bite actually was better for a handful of them, which I thought was really comical because I was like, no, man, I want the sun. But, it was great. Great way to kick it off.
So next up is the Governor's Cup. And this is something that it's kind of the first time you've done this. And really, it's like the World Series of, fishing tournaments.
Yeah, we've been running this circuit now. This is our 16th year, and we just kind of wanted to do something that brought a little more life to it. I mean, we've got great team numbers and we've got great competition and the fishing is excellent down here. But some of our surrounding states are doing a Gov Cup, and it's kind of added a different level of prestigiousness. And so we thought now is the time to do that, really try to pull some people from different areas of our state and other surrounding states that have been involved in Governor's Cups. And we're going to do some pretty neat stuff during this next event.
I know that it is a limited number and it's pretty much full. This week was 145 boats, and that's where you capped it off. So it's going to be another big week here on the water here in Glendale, Mitch.
Yeah, I think our biggest was 159 COVID year, and that was a lot of work. 140. I think the other thing we want to try to do is build on our tradition. We've, like Brian said, we got 16 years of 15 of a circuit, and that's a good tradition. And I hope that this Governor's Cup, we tried to reach out to the governor and see if we can get them involved. And as the years go on, we want to build that thing up, and capping it, I think, helps maybe build that. And we never really intended on wanting to do a 200-team, 250-team. As Brian said, the reservoirs here are big, but you want to leave enough space for everybody to play nice as well.
Right. And, everybody you talk to the entire weekend out here is like, this is one of the best walleye tournaments. I mean, 16 years, you've done it a few times, so you know exactly what you're doing. And, having this special one, I think, is like the World Series or the Super Bowl of tournaments.
And it is. And, we're going to, with 140 boats, we did raise the entry fee to $600. There wasn't a person that batted their eye about that, really. And what that's going to allow us to do is we're going to pay this thing out like a Super Bowl. First place is going to be $15,000. Second place is going to be $10,000. Third place is going to be $7,500. And we're going to pay all the way down to 28th places. So it's going to be great. We're going to have Super Bowl rings made with the team name, the Governor's Cup logo. We're going to have a traveling trophy that's going to be on display in one of the local businesses here. And that's going to have nameplates. So every year, as the tradition continues, we're going to be able to add their names to that trophy. We're doing jackets for the winners. And then we've got like Ryder Cup, chalices that are for trophies, first, second, and third. 15-pound
trophies.
Yeah. 15-pound. They get to hoist them up just like a NASCAR race.
If they use their knees. Yes. Don't use your back. Lift your knees.
Well, it really was a great weekend at Glendale. And this is the first weekend with B&A Marina. And, boy, they did a great job here. And they had breakfast burritos on the dock. And they were ready for every challenge.
Yeah. We were just hoping that maybe they'd have some burgers on the water. But,
right.
But the burgers here at the Marina were great. So, if you haven't come down yet to check them out, they've just been open for about a week now. But they've got made some great changes, great family. We took Blake, their youngest son, Blake of the B&A Marina. Uh-huh. We went with him today, or he went with us, and we got him on the water, and he got to experience how we measure these fish. And I think it's pretty neat. Both of the owners got out and watched our launch. Mm-hmm. So we put them in the boats, and they were pretty impressed on that. We were able to get 145 boats lined up numerically,
Yeah. Well, and that's really impressive. If you go back and go to the Facebook page and watch the launch, mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of a cool thing, and anybody would be blown away to see it. And a matter of fact, there's always spectators up on the hill.
Yes.
Yeah, it's one of the things I think that we've done really well over the years, and that was, I think, our first year we wanted to launch that one. We've carried it on the whole way. It's safe. We've over 16 years, I think mm-hmm. we've done really well at that, and the guys kind of figure it out after the first event, you know, and we launched 140, 45 boats this weekend in, I think, about 12 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's flawless, but...
Yeah, you know, and the other thing I like to encourage people is if you're a spectator and you just would like to see some fish coming in, at the end of the day, we generally measure the fish on the docks outside the marina here. And so if you live in town or Douglas or Glen Rock and you want to make an afternoon trip and come down and just see how we do it, or maybe just have the opportunity to see some big fish, be more than happy to come on down to the dock. And if you want to stick around for the rules, the results, we'll hand out all the sheets that kind of tells you where everybody was standing. You can look for your buddies or just kind of find out that, you know, what you, if you were to get in a tournament, what you would have to compete with, you know, do I need 10 pounds? Do I need 20 pounds? Or can I compete with what you do on a daily basis?
And a lot of luck.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mitch, Brian, I appreciate you letting me be a part of it. It's always fun to come down and see all these whoppers, you know, the 27, 28, 29-inch fish. Mm-hmm. That's big. And then we had Noah in the boat with us again. He's been almost all of them, I think, for the last 2 years.
Yeah. And Noah, I'm putting the boat into the fishing hole, and before I could even turn the boat off, he's casting and pulling a fish in. So, I mean... Kid's good.
He's learning from all of these anglers, and you know there are so many that want to take him out and fish with him.
I have a pretty good feeling Noah's probably going to end up in a boat in one of these tournaments here not too long. We've got a handful of kids that started real young fishing off the dock, and next thing you know, 15 years later, they got their own boat, and we kind of chuckle about that. Brian said it today, one of the father-daughter teams that won, Brian said, I can't believe she's as old as she is, because I remember when she was with us, just like Blake was and Noah was in Wayboats.
So, Noah, you got to come back. Are you coming back? Come over here for a minute. Are you coming back for the next one?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Okay. You're a man of no words now. You talk all the time, but now.
He's our clothing opportuneur.
All right. In just a few minutes, we're going to talk to Curtis and Mark, who are this year's first winner, taking home $10,000 and more by the time they get all their checks cashed, with a total of 53.94 pounds, right?
Pretty impressive.
That's pretty darn good for 2 days of fishing. So stick around. We'll get to those guys in just a few minutes.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Here we are at Glendale. We have finished up the first Wyoming Walleye Stampede, and I'll tell you, it was a rough weekend for most people, but not for these guys. Curtis McCormick and Mark Schoening, winners of the very first one, and guys, You went out and had two great days, and Mark, I know that that you guys have fished this before, but it's been a little bit, right?
Yeah, we fish it every year. I took a little bit of a hiatus from the Wyoming stuff and was doing some national stuff for a while, and then Curtis and I decided we were going to start doing the whole series, all four of them, leading into the championship, and last year was our first year doing that together.
You made it look pretty easy on both days. You had pretty good baskets. And did you have any special techniques, or did you come out and pre-fish, Curtis?
We got here Wednesday to pre-fish. So we were looking around for the right kind of fish. So there was an area that we didn't really pre-fish much because historically holds tournament quality fish that you're looking for. We kind of fished most of the week stuff that we wouldn't normally fish during the tournament, because one of the obstacles of this tournament is the amount of boats. So you're kind of jockeying for spots sometimes, depending on what boat number you are and how that might go. So we were able to get lucky enough to get one of the number one spots that we wanted the first day, and we're able to get the right bites at the right time. And the big bag the first day paved the way for what we had going on today. So,
you know, with this tournament, you mentioned 145 boats. That's a lot of boats to have on a body of water, you know, anywhere. But to have it here at Glendale, and to see, you know, the amount of people that come out and will fish all four of these. And you guys said that you're going to do the Governor's Cup, which is the next one on coming up in just a couple of weeks. And, you know, that's a huge payout tournament. And are you guys going to do anything different because it is here at Glendale? Will you have a different game plan?
Yeah, things will change a lot between now and then. So we'll approach it completely different, I'm sure. We'll be looking in more of the back bays for fish that scatter after spawn. So we'll be hitting those feeding flats, and it'll be completely different for sure.
Yep. Well, Mark, I know that you come up from Colorado, and Curtis, you come up from Nebraska. So have you fished a lot of tournaments together, or Are you, you know, just buddies from the past, or?
We fished a lot of tournaments together over the years from all over, literally all over, nationally, Nebraska, Wyoming, stuff like that, Colorado. And then we just got together to team up to do this because my partner was more on the national side from South Dakota. And so we just decided to stay close. Brian runs such a good program here. The payouts are good. It just makes sense for us. We're closer to home, less time away from the family, which is always tough. So, you know, Curtis touched a little bit about the technique for next tournament, but the biggest thing is when it's your day, right? There's a lot of good fishermen in this whole field,
mm-hmm.
and any one of them could have topped us today. It was just our day.
Well, I appreciate getting you guys sitting down with me, and we'll see you next, 2 weeks, 3 weeks away. So a whole lot of 3 weeks is not a lot of time. So it'll be a good, fast 3 weeks and be back out here. And June bite will be a little bit different, too. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'm sure you guys are, too. So we appreciate it, and we'll see you in June.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
My Country 95.5, good morning, it's Drew, and of course, coming up Memorial Day weekend, there's a big event happening here in Casper, and Chad Griffin is here with the Reverent Warriors, and Chad, this is the first one in Casper, and it's turning out to be a big one.
I got a challenge, and I'm going to put on the best veteran party ever, Saturday, May 25th, veterans only for the hike through town, so we start at 8 o'clock up at the VFW. And around 4:30, 5 o'clock, everybody's welcome to come up to the VFW that night. Our good friends down at Western Distributions will provide us some adult beverages on the cheap. And we're gonna throw the veterans the biggest, best party Casper's ever seen.
Of course, Memorial Day weekend, already a very important weekend for those that served and passed while, serving our country. And, you know, those that made it back, they still need that camaraderie because, you know, we have all, you know, known some veterans that have had some tough times. And one of your main goals is to really be that shoulder to cry on or laugh with.
Oh, yeah. You know, Irreverent Warriors, we started as a very unconventional therapy for veterans. You know, who knows best what you went through, whether you went overseas or you stayed here back at home or mm-hmm. you got smoked in the sand pit at basic training. Nobody knows that like a veteran does. And nobody knows how to listen and understand what you're going through better than a veteran. And that's what we do. We bring veterans together. We use humor and camaraderie to improve mental health and prevent veteran suicide.
And when you do this hike coming up on the 25th, I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun for the veterans. Veterans only during the hike, though.
No, we call this a hike, the Casper hike. It's a walk. It's a walk and party. We want you to bring your speakers. You'll see us walking through town. We'll be dancing. We'll be partying. God knows we'll be singing Sweet Caroline 14 different times, the Backstreet Boys 15 times. I mean, we walk at about a 2 mile an hour pace. It's a slow walk. We want you communicating. This is by far a non-athletic event.
Right.
You know, we're going to start up at the VFW and snake our way through town and hit some amazing businesses here in town that stepped up, really allowing us to come in and enjoy it. You know, it's going to be a perfect day. Right now, I've got about 50 people signed up for it. Half of them are coming in from out of town. As far as Knoxville, Tennessee, got one guy coming in from Louisiana, some friends from that I met last year up at hikes up in Montana are coming down. Great friends out of Washington are coming in. It's really a national party.
If you're a veteran and you want to get in on this event that's happening on Memorial Day weekend, it's still okay for you to show up and be part of this.
Yeah, absolutely. We want you to come, whether it's a last second thing, show up at 8 o'clock at the VFW up there at 1800 Bryan Stock Trail, mm-hmm. or go to Silky's Hike Casper, WY, the number 4, all one word, .eventbrite.com, and you can sign up there. It is absolutely free for veterans. It doesn't cost you a single cent to come. I got you food. I got you waters. I got you sports drinks, some soda. We've got everything covered for you. We want you to come and open up. You never know. You might find that brand new battle buddy you never knew you had that lives two blocks away from you.
Yeah.
Or lives 1,000 miles away from you. I got people I talk to 4 or 5 times a week, whether it's sending memes back and forth or actually having a deep, heartfelt conversation about life.
Right.
You know, life doesn't stop when we step off the battlefield. It continues every day.
And, you know, one of the things, our buddy Bud is one of those guys that you guys met at an HD Outdoor event that, you know, I took Bud to so he could, you know, meet other veterans. And now you guys have become close, and he's going to be on the walk with you. And you guys are even going off to another walk in Salt Lake City, I believe, right?
Yeah, I'm going to kidnap him, what's the movie, Old School Style, on Friday morning and take him down to Salt Lake City for their hike. We got Denver coming up June 8th here locally, quote-unquote, that easy travel to. Colorado Springs doesn't happen until October. But we've got 150 cities across the nation that are putting on hikes every weekend.
Well, that's the best part about it is, you know, you just mentioned a handful of different hikes that happen all year, every year. And if you're a veteran and you need an outlet, you can go to any of these and they're not going to bat an eye. They want you there. That's why you put these on. And one of the great parts, if you go to our My Country 95.5 app, you can see some of the videos that have been taken from these hikes, where it's not just a bunch of, you know, battle troopers that are wearing their BTUs and their boots. I mean, these are American flag waving, American loving veterans that are dressed to the nines in their silkies.
Wow, you just called the silkies the nines.
Yeah, man.
And they are. You know, that's one of the best things about this organization is we don't care what you wear. You want to wear pants? Great. Wear pants. Just be comfortable.
Some sort of pants are required.
You
got to
cover
though,
up the naughty bits.
Yeah, some part.
Whatever the law considers the naughty bits in your area, you got to cover them up.
Yeah.
I mean, but you'll never know the freeness of a pair of silkies. They are the greatest garment ever created.
For those that don't know, the silkies are the shorts that you're issued in your basic training. Or
silkies bred out of underwater demolition teams back in the 60s and 70s during Vietnam and Korea. They needed a quick-drying garment to come out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then over the years, 70s, 80s, all the services brought them in for their PT uniforms, and they're awesome. Everybody looks at me weird when I walk into the gym or last year walking on the softball field with them, but they are the best thing ever. And, you know, you don't have to bring anything. A lot of guys will wear a backpack or a ruck. Some will wear flak vests. You pick up little things from each hike, like patches are big, whether it's the words we can't say on air or, you know, just the city patch. And then we also have hike tags, which are kind of like streamers on top of our flags. Is they tell you what city you've been to. And it's just kind of a collector's item that people take pride in. You know, you walked it 7 to 10 miles in that city, and you had a blast, and you made new friends, and you made that connection with somebody that you didn't think you had.
Yeah, well, it's definitely going to be great. Again, go to our website or our app. We've got the information up there so that you can follow along, you can get involved, and, you know, this is your big one for the year, but you guys still kind of get together.
Some great things that we've got planned already. Yes, our hike's May 25th, 8 o'clock, VFW Bryant-Stock Trail. We don't have what we call vet-togethers all year long. The VFW and I are working on doing a night at the V, kind of a special party. We're working on, quote-unquote, drive-in movie nights. But if it means I can get a couple of veterans together and we can sit and enjoy some time together and open up a little bit, we're going to do that. You know, like I said, Friday night up at Sidelines, May 24th from 5:30 is going to be our meet and greet. Everybody's invited, families, friends, community. May 25th, 8 o'clock, veterans only. It's going to be Casper's biggest veterans party. I'm going to give Lindsay from HD Outdoors a run for her money because she throws some amazing events. She's been a great sponsor and a great friend of To Your Reverent Warriors, and it's going to be a blast.
Very good. Well, we've been talking about this since October. That's the first time that I think I had you in to be here, and it's already here. So make sure to get over to our app, and you can find out all the information.
Andrew, I got to thank you personally. You've allowed me to come up here, talk with you about it. You've helped me online. Your Reverent Warriors, thank you so much for what you do. Between everything you do in this town, we thank you.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. And, you know, and my buddies, you know, I have so many veteran buddies that, you know, without groups like this, they wouldn't be here today. So, but we appreciate everything you guys do. Get over there, check out the information. Still time to get involved for the May 25th, 8 a.m. Bryan Stock Trail. That's where you go.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.